It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Children of incarcerated parents face social, emotional, and academic difficulties at a far higher rate than their peers, as we've just heard. These kids are at increased risk for negative behavior and potential future criminal activity. But one group, Amachi Pittsburgh, is working to stop the cycle of incarceration and provide opportunities for children. Amachi Ambassadors Coordinator Kayla Boyer went through this program and is now working with kids today. She joins us in studio. Kayla Boyer, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also with us to talk about the impact Amachi has had in Pittsburgh is Executive Director Anna Hollis. Anna Hollis, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much.
You can join the conversation with a comment or a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh at wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Anna, let's have you begin by telling us about Amachi and what you do for children in the Pittsburgh region.
Okay. So our organization works with children and families impacted by incarceration, and the services that we provide include one-on-one mentoring, family strengthening, reunification support when parents are returning home. And then we have a special Amachi Ambassadors program, which engages young people in youth organizing and civic campaigns and public awareness so that they have the opportunity to take a lead role in clarifying what this experience is like for young people and what community members can do to make a difference.
And there's an interesting story behind the origin of the word Amachi. So why don't we have you explain that to us?
Yeah, it's a Nigerian Igbo word that has a lot of words attached to the meaning of it. It means who knows what God has brought us through this child. And it really just speaks to the inherent value that we believe all children have. And you can't just write a child off because of the difficulties that they're struggling with as young people.
Kayla, you went through the Amachi program as a child. Can you share with us your story and how you got to be where you are now?
Yes. So I first became involved in the mentoring program back in 2004 when I was in high school. And so I was matched with my mentor, Yolanda. I had a mother who was incarcerated. And so that was my first introduction to Amachi. And I remained matched with Yolanda for about 3 years until I graduated from high school. And really just being involved in the mentoring program helped to give me another level of support from another caring adult. And I found that beneficial for me because I was trying to deal with my mother's incarceration. She was really back and forth, in and out of jail often. And so that period in my life was just, I describe it as constant flux, not knowing how long she would be away, when she would come back home. And just having another person there like Yolanda was really beneficial for me, and just having another support system there.
And I guess it's unusual. In most cases, it's the father who is in jail. But clearly, you're proof that it can happen with your mom. And it must be hard, you know, just as it would be, I think, for a son to have their father in jail, you know, for a young lady to have their mom in prison would be a real difficult challenge, is if growing up isn't challenging enough. What were some of the things that you went through? What were the needs that you had, that the things that needed to be addressed by a mentor?
And this is something that I wouldn't even expect a mentor to be able to address, but I had questions on where my mother was because I didn't know when she first went to jail that that's where she was.
And you were how old then?
When my mom first went to jail, I was really young. I may have been as young as maybe 6 or 7, as young as I can remember.
So you had questions.
I had a lot of questions. I remember just wondering where she was or how I can get in contact with her. And then when my grandmother told me finally that she was in jail, she didn't take me to visit her, but to keep contact with her, we tried to write letters, but I was so young, I really didn't even understand how to write letters. So I had my grandmother help me with that. But I just wanted to keep in contact with my mother, which was hard to do.
Did she write back?
Well, this is the funny story. I tried to write the letter, but I really didn't understand how the postal system worked. So I wrote the letter with my grandmother, but I ended up drawing all over the envelope, and I put mom in big bubble letters and colored all over it. So there was really no room to put the information to mail it. And so then my grandmother got frustrated. I don't even know if we sent the letter off, but we tried to write her a letter. So I would just have to wait until she would come to the house on occasion, usually around the holidays, and then try to spend time with her there. So she was in and out of jail, but when she was out, I still didn't see her that often. So on special occasions.
Who raised you?
So my grandmother and her husband adopted me, but my grandfather died when I was 10 years old. And so then the burden fell to just my grandmother.
What, you know, we've talked about stigmas. What was it like for you, you know, to deal with this? You've got this, you know, as you got older, in some ways it might have gotten worse because you began to realize more fully what had happened in your life. And what did that do to your self-confidence, you know, being conscious of this whole thing?
It was really frustrating because it's embarrassing to talk about having a parent incarcerated. And my mother was struggling with a drug addiction, which is also embarrassing to talk about. Really trying to separate myself from my mother is really what I tried to do growing up. I knew that I didn't want to follow the same path as my mother, but I still respected her as a person. And so trying to, walk that thin line of still having respect for your parent, but at the same time wanting to avoid the mistakes they made and not really wanting to be associated with the reasons why she ended up behind bars and addicted to drugs.
Anna, is that what Kayla is talking about here? Is that unusual? Because I know there's a concern about the children of incarcerated parents ending up going down the path of criminal activity themselves. And clearly, Kayla wanted to and did avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you prevent the children who go through AMACHI programs from ending up in jail themselves? How difficult is it to overcome generational incarceration and crime?
Yeah, it's so important to really wrap your arms around young people who are dealing with these difficulties because, as Kayla said, it's so hard for them to process what has happened and to find a way to love that parent and yearn for that parent, but yet want to be disconnected from the parts of that incarceration that's embarrassing for them. And so what we do is we provide mentoring, as I mentioned earlier, but we couple that with family strengthening because there are so many layers of challenges and issues that families are confronted with, and it's important to provide that sort of wraparound support for the family unit, even if it's a broken unit. And so I think once we really identify what a child's needs are and we find those community resources and sort of make that connection, it isn't difficult at all for these kids to avoid, involvement in a criminal justice system. We have a 92% success rate, and that's because of the time that our volunteers are investing with these young people, giving them a safe space to either talk about their issues and opportunities to be exposed to new experiences in the community. I mean, a lot of our kids don't leave the, four block radius of their neighborhoods. And to be able just to explore cultural and educational activities in Pittsburgh is a huge deal. Just helping young people envision their futures in a way that's different from what their experience has been, as children is really important. And those are the things that make a difference.
What needs to be changed in the system? In our previous conversation with David Murphy, he was talking about something that, wouldn't occur necessarily to someone like myself who hasn't had to deal with this problem, mm-hmm. that there's such limited communication between the incarcerated parent and the child that they're trying to find ways for contact to be maintained for no other reason than when that incarcerated parent is finally released, that they maybe have some way to get their bearings in terms of reestablishing their relationship with their child.
Mm-hmm.
Is that being improved? And what other things need to happen in order for us to as a society to help this incarcerated parent who not only needs to find a job and adjust to being on the outside again, but has to somehow be a role model in the face of all of this to their child.
Well, I think what we've learned over the years, and there's a lot of attention now to this issue because it's so huge because of incarceration in massive numbers over the years. But what we've recognized is that maintaining family ties from the very beginning is what's important. It's better for the incarcerated individual, and it's better for the children. So they're each able to manage this very difficult experience better when they can maintain ties to each other. So I think there are several community groups that are in even the Department of Corrections at the county and state level are really looking at making family connections more possible. Go ahead.
No,
I can ramble on. I didn't want to give you a chance to get to
question. I think, there is a time limit, but there's no shortage of time in dealing with important aspects of this. I wanted to get back to the mentor program, when a child gets matched in this program. First of all, how does that happen?
Well, we recruit a lot of our mentors through communities of faith and social and professional groups, and we take them through a very intense, screening process. We assess their strengths and abilities to address the needs of young people, and we do a similar assessment with the children in our program, and then we sort of match the kids with a mentor that would help that young person identify and capitalize on their innate strengths. That's the real key, is helping young people find their own personal assets and building upon those. And so, we recruit through community events. We go out to, we establish partnerships with some community organizations so that we can find volunteers to mentor.
And Kayla, what insight can you give to these children as someone who's gone through AMACHI programs yourself?
So I think that having a mentor is something that I learned to appreciate much more after I've gone through the program, and really understanding the amount of time that a mentor puts into a mentoring relationship, and understanding that they aren't paid to do this work. This is someone who is caring and someone who just wants to help children. And so young children may not always have an understanding of that while they're currently being involved in the program. But I think that just having an appreciation for having another person who is there willingly, unpaid, spending time because they care about you and because they want to see you succeed.
And I'm guessing that helps you because you have that insight, that if you're not getting maybe the response you would like from a particular child, you can say, well, hey, I was there, so I get this. I understand it.
I have told our mentors many times that even if, your mentee doesn't say thank you as often as you'd like, maybe they don't, give you as much feedback as you like, but I think that our mentors understand that the work that they're doing is valuable, the work that they're doing is much needed, and that our kids do appreciate it. They may not verbalize it and tell you, while it's happening, but just understanding that the work they're doing is very important, and to just be patient with young people and understand that the kids are benefiting from the program and grateful for the time they spent with mentors.
Very quickly, we're down to just 30 seconds, but Anna, talk to us about the program called Victims No More.
This is a new campaign that we're developing, Victims No More, to ensure that children of incarcerated parents are recognized as victims of their parents' crimes, unfortunately. I think it's also key to realize that there are policy changes that we can make.
It's a very important program and just part of what AMACHI is doing in Pittsburgh. And I want to thank AMACHI Ambassadors Coordinator Kayla Boyer for joining us, and also Executive Director Anna Hollis. It's been a great conversation. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. We're out of time. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.